But Lord, we know that there's people out there, there's people in the world who perhaps once knew you, but their love has faded. There's people out there who have never experienced that beautiful love, that beautiful peace. There's people out there who are in bondage, oh God. Lord, your word says, come and taste of the Lord and see that he is good. But they've not tasted, Father. And so we pray for them tonight, Lord. We pray that, Father God, you would just continue to show patience as you do. Continue to pour out your grace and your mercy. And that, Lord, you would rekindle this love, a fire that would spark, Lord, into a greater fire in terms of following you. Lord, in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Where did our love go? Ooh. Where did our love go? You know who that was?
The Supremes.
Baby, baby, where did our love go? You can tell that I've spent the weekend with Trev the Rev. Amazing. But, you know, that is true, isn't it? You know, there's so many people who follow the Lord. You know, there's thousands upon Christians here in the United Kingdom who follow the Lord faithfully. But do you know, circumstances can cause us to lose our first love. And we're going to be looking at that tonight. Let's get one thing straight. It is not easy being a Christian. Amen? It's not easy. And Chris reminded us this morning about God has entrusted a great responsibility to you and to me. And you know, we could bow under that burden because at times we just don't like feel like getting out of bed and doing it. Let's be honest. There's times when that people come into our lives and there's a great opportunity staring us right in the face. But we don't take it. Let's be honest. Why is that? Are we unique in that? Well, no, we are not. Because as the scripture that Trevor read tonight is clear, that not only do we suffer this, but the early church suffered from it as well. You know, this Ephesian church, it started off really well. What a fantastic, you can read all about that in Acts 19. You know, Paul had gone into Ephesus at great risk. And God had really put it on his heart to stay there. And he remained there for 3 years. And in that time, he saw miracle after miracle. Believers became filled with the Holy Spirit. Because at that time, they were only baptized in the baptism of John. Paul said to them when he first arrived in Ephesus, "Have you been baptized by the Holy Spirit?" And they said, "No, we've only heard of the baptism of John." So Paul laid his hands upon them and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Do you know when you get filled with the Holy Spirit, nothing is impossible for God. When you get filled with the Holy Spirit, it's almost like a flame of love just flows within. Oh, I remember the first day that I fell in love with Jesus. In fact, I think I'm still even more in love with him today, if I'm honest. But it's not easy. We face challenges. We minister to people. We go to places that can really be difficult. But yet if you're going in the love of God, then it shouldn't be difficult.
Greetings, this is Pastor Pia. Greetings, this is Pastor Pial from Calcutta, West Bengal, and I'd like to say thank you so much for sending Peter Gladwin and Andy Parker and Paul for ministering over here. And it was such a blessing that they have come over here and they have been visited the field visit, and there was 8 places they have been visiting. Each place there was 200 people has come to hear the gospel. And after sharing the gospel, we have seen there are many people that came to the Lord Jesus. There are many healing to praise. And we really praise God for that. We thank you so much for their visit and sharing the word of God. And now we are having a conference. There are 70 of our pastors come, and they have been giving you teaching, so which is such a good place because they will learn and they will go back with the teaching to teach their own people. And thank you so much. Thank you for your prayer and the support for Out of Access Ministry.
Do you know, it's incredible the doors that God opens for you and for me, for the church, and obviously for the Forefathers Church, the faith that was built by our forefathers. And as I say, this church at Ephesus, it was amazing in terms of its faithfulness. It was amazing in terms of its works. But we read in Revelation 2 that works that they were doing actually caused them a problem. It got in front of their love for Christ. They were more concerned with works. What caused that? Well, they were more concerned about a position. What caused that? We read in Acts 19 that they were a thriving church. We read in Ephesus, Ephesians 2, that they were growing, they were developing, they were ministering, they were getting the word out. What the heck happened? What caused them to lose their first love? Well, the first thing I think that caused them to lose their first love is perhaps they became frustrated. It's so easy to get frustrated, especially when you're facing negative situations. Let me tell you, going to India is not easy. It's not easy on the body. It's not easy in terms of the food that you eat, but it's not easy in terms of the spiritual environment, because it's 98% Hindu. And Hinduism is an horrific religion. It's horrific. Look at the state of India today. Well, that's because of Hinduism. That's what it brings you. It doesn't bring you peace and prosperity. And I'm not talking about materialism. I'm talking about spiritual prosperity. Knowing who you are. Knowing where you're going. As Christians, we're born again, we're filled with the Spirit. As Christians, we know that we haven't got an NP19 postcode, we've got a heavenly postcode. And what it is, what a wonderful joy it is to know that, I mean, I'm 60 years of age. I mean, I know that shocks you. But I am 60 years of age. If I've got 30 years left, I mean, you might not like that, but if I've got 30 years left, well, I'll be happy. I'll be happy. But life is short. In fact, it was C.T. Studd that said, he turned round and he said this, it's only one life that will soon be passed. It's only what's done in Christ that will last. And so when we look at this church, we think, well, dear me, the Ephesian church, they started off great, but they lost their first love. But let's not forget what the Ephesus was like. It was full of idolatry. They had a big temple there, Temple of Diana. So they were worshipping all, you know, these gods and false and idols. And let me tell you, we got stopped by these Hindus on this road. And they said to us, Buja, Buja. And we went, we ain't paying no Buja. And they wanted money off us to fund one of their temples. And it was a bit risky, to be honest with you, because these were young men, probably 20, in their early 20s. And, you know, when you're out in the sticks, we weren't in the, you know, we were out in remote villages in and around Calcutta. Let me tell you, the idols, it's horrendous. In fact, one of our team went down spiritually. He had to spend a day just getting before God because his mind was so fogged up with the spiritual strongholds, believe it or not. Whew. It's not easy. And you can get frustrated. But God, you know, whenever God sends you anywhere, He not only pays for it, he anoints it. And he always does more than we can ever imagine. And you know, we saw hundreds of people coming from Hinduism into a relationship with the living God. You know, let me tell you, the communities that we visited were the Dalit communities. That word Dalit, it means untouchable. Yeah, that message was clear. Love. God is a God of love. He loves you. You are touchable. The world might not love you, but God adores you. You might feel unwanted, but God wants you. And, you know, it's wonderful that people respond. But there's times when, you know, it's not always where you get people a response. There's been times, you know, in our ministry when we've been into, you know, a prison perhaps or a church and it's been nothing. And it become you come away from there and you think, dear me, I've travelled all this way and dush, nothing. In fact, I went to a prison once and I drove 4 hours and I got there and all of a sudden over the radio there came a security warning. And it said, there's been a lockdown, there's a lockdown, all prisoners are locked down. And I thought, hang on a minute, I know what that means. I've worked in prisons. That means we're not going to get a service. And I looked at the chaplain and he said, I'm sorry, Peter. I said, you've come all this way. You know, a couple of minutes later, we heard this knock on the door. We went to the door and there these four girls, it was a women's prison. Four girls standing there. We said, what are you doing? They said, well, we've come for the service. We said, well, how have you got here? Well, it's a lockdown. They said, well, our doors weren't locked. Come on in. Do you know, let me tell you, we had an amazing time with them. Let me tell you, it's easy. Well, when I say easy, it's not easy, but it's a lot more difficult to minister in a women's prison than it is in a men's prison. You see, these women, you know, these women who have been abused, these women who have been trafficked, these women who have just, you know, just been totally beaten by life. And I have to say, at the hands of men. And so when they hear about a man called Jesus, who loves them, when they hear about a plan that God has for them, when they hear about a God who will always be faithful to them, they open their hearts and receive Jesus. So what else causes this church to lose its first love? It was on fire. The Ephesus church was on fire. What happened? Well, perhaps they allowed fear to get in. Because let's be honest, when you're living in a place of idolatry, in a city where the Romans and all the religious factions are constantly giving you stick, it's not easy. In fact, Paul the Apostle, as you read, in Acts 19, they tried to kill him a few times. The attacks that he came under was horrendous. But did he give up? No. It just spurred him on even more. Do you know, we do come under attacks. We do. And we can, if we allow it, we can allow fear to get in. And fear will drain us. Fear will keep us, stuck. Fear will definitely immobilizes. You know, just before I was about to fly out to India, somebody come to me and said, Peter, there's a lot of terrorism going on in India, isn't there? And I went, what do you mean? They went, well, ISIS are out there. And I says, well, so what? What if they are? Praise God. Let's hope they come to one of the meetings and get saved. But I could have turned round and gone, hang on a minute, this ISIS, they're a bit naughty, aren't they? Don't they carry bombs and this and the other? You know, then somebody else come up to me and said to me, Peter, there's a lot of mosquitoes in India. And there is. But there's also a lot of mosquito nets. You know, fear, just silly little things can stop you from moving in the power of God. Do you know, I got bitten a few times. And yes, dengue fever is a big problem out there. But all the way through the mission, even when we got these bites, we were constantly praising God and thanking God for his protection. The Bible says, no weapon formed against me will prosper. No weapon. No weapon against you will prosper. No unemployment that you're going through will prosper. God is with you. No raging sea, no storm, whatever you're going through. This morning we heard the testimony. We sat in the back there and Pastor Trevor and James and Trevor, we heard the testimony of Fred. Wow, what a testimony. Look forward to the day that he gives it here. He's not ready yet, but look forward to the day that he gives that testimony. I tell you, it's heartbreaking. But yet it's full of power, it's full of grace, and it's full of love that he has for God. No matter what storm you go through. And then, when you listen to him and you think, dear me, you'd think, well, come on, was God with you? He was with me. In fact, he tells us that God calmed the seas halfway over the ocean. God calmed the seas. Wow. What a faith. What a love. Nothing formed against you will prosper. And the Ephesians really, in a sense, yes, they were discipled, but maybe the pastor left. Maybe what happened? They stopped being discipled. Something happened. We need to be discipled constantly. We need to be accountable constantly. If we want to grow as a church, and have people out there look at this church and go, wow, who the heck's that? How's that happening? Then we need to be accountable. And we need to continue to flow through the love of God. You know, we've been to 6 countries this year. We've been UK, all UK ministry, prisons, churches, schools, all over this country. But let me tell you, when I get to heaven, God won't say to me, why should I let you into my kingdom? And I turn around, well, we went to India and Papua New Guinea and Australia and Africa. And, do you know what I mean? That should get me in, shouldn't it? What's God going to say to that? He's going to say, I'm sorry, Peter. That's not the entry into the kingdom of God. But if I go in and say, well, Lord, I should come in because I love the Lord Jesus Christ. I could come in because I've loved him since the day I got saved. Yes, I found it difficult at times. Following you is not easy, Lord. And I have found it difficult and I have let you down and I have been unfaithful to you at times. I admit that, Lord, but I've loved Jesus. Is he your Lord? He's in my veins. And I can't get him out and I don't want him out. I believe that's God's going to say, enter the kingdom of God. our first love. You know, love the Lord your God with all your... Not love the Lord your God with going out to India or wherever. It's not about works. Well, it is about... This is strange, isn't it? Because it is about works. But priority is love. Love. And how can you and I show love? By constantly being in fellowship with the living God. It's a simple message, really. By desiring to know what God is doing and what he wants to do with you and me. What he wants to do with us as a church. Because like Chris said this morning, you know, God has given us great opportunities. We've got the message church, which was brilliant this week. We've got the kids church. We've got all sorts of groups going on. We've got stuff going on in his church. It's wonderful. That is showing love. And we need to continue to pray. We need to continue to be that shoulder of comfort. We've got the night shelters coming up in the new year. You had a testimony a few weeks ago of a lad who came to the night shelter and a few weeks later he's a born again Christian and he's in recovery in a rehab. That was your love, guys. Come on. You know, I mean, I had to sleep next to Carol. She had to put up with my socks. And he was on the other side.
Yours.
Love, love, love. Let's not, you know, be one of these casualties. Where did our love go? Let's continue to love. Let us continue to meet as a fellowship. Let us continue to pray. Let us continue to reach out. You know, yesterday we reached out and we shared this amazing love that God has. And two guys shared their testimonies from real brokenness. One totally abused his life. Totally wrecked his life at the age of eight. He was hanging around with gangsters aged 20. He was taking drugs at the age of 10. He was in prison by the age of 13. He was wrecked. But it was God's love. It was God's love, not a mission to India or this, that and the other. It was God's love that drew him to Jesus. We've had an amazing year as a church, as a ministry. Amazing. Can't thank God enough. But we're now entering a new year, 2020. And I'm so looking forward to what God is going to do. You know, the Ephesian church, they started really well. But they went from living in a dynamic and personal relationship with the living God through the transforming indwelling power of Jesus. They went to fading away. But guess what, guys? God wanted to forgive them. He gave them another chance. Even though they'd fallen from a great height, God said, repent. Repent. He gave them another chance. And they were surrounded by the idolatrous idols and gods. They also had the Nicolaitans. Read about them. They were a horrible sect. They were surrounded by terrible situations that caused them. And God knew that. God knows what causes you. He knows our weaknesses. And I believe God allows for our weaknesses because his grace is amazing. Your sin will never cause God's grace to run out. Never. Never. Do you know, I said something really controversial in this rehabilitation centre that Out of Ashes supports a few weeks ago. And I thought, dear me, should I say that, Lord? And I thought, Lord, say it, Peter. And I went, all right, I'll say it. And I looked at him, I said, look, no matter how much you sin, one day you'll fall to the floor because you'll realise the wonderful grace of God. How amazing His grace is. You'll mature one day. Yes, you're playing with your toys today. But one day you will grow up and you will realise how much God loves you. God is an amazing God. His love is amazing. And so let's continue. Let's celebrate, you know, let's end well. We're in 2019, let's end well. It's great that we've started well, we've ran well, let's finish well. So important to finish well. And I really do believe that God is pleased with us as a church. I believe that God is pleased with us as a ministry. And I believe that God is going to get us over that line one way or the other. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you that Father God, Lord, you know every hair on our head. You know where we are. You know, Father, when the gas is turned down. But my prayer is that you will turn that gas up. That you will increase the love that in our hearts. Father, fill us afresh. We need a fresh vision. We need a fresh touch from you, O God. It's been a tough year. Father, we have had casualties. But Lord, we're still running. And we want to continue to run. Because we want to cross the finishing line, knowing that there's a crown waiting for us, O God. A crown of righteousness, not because of anything we've done or anywhere we've been, but because of your mercy, because of your grace, and because of your great love. Lord, fan the flame. If there's a flame that's burning a bit low tonight in here, fan that flame. Light that fire again, O God. Bring a real freshness upon us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen.